Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Max 6 Entrepreneurial Work Center right here in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. And we are excited today to meet with Mac Prefab VP Business Development, Robert Johnson, sitting right here next to me. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
I'm excited about our conversation today.
Yeah, it's been exciting already.
It has been. It's always fun to get to know people right before we go on air and bring that energy into the room. And I have a sense that we're going to have a great conversation. I want to talk, obviously, all about your business and your professional life so our listeners know who you are and we can send you the right people. But I also want to give a shout out to JJ Levinsky, who was the one who connected us. He will forever be known to me as the guy with the cool jacket.
We were joking
about that earlier. So JJ, if you're listening, we want to thank you for the introduction to Robert. JJ was a guest on Tycoons of Small Biz with Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, who are with Backbone Financial Partners. And how do you and JJ know each other?
JJ is a general contractor, a commercial contractor, and we are a manufacturer of commercial building components.
Great segue. So shout out to JJ, forever the dude with a very cool jacket. I didn't get to meet him here the day that he was here, but I was heading into another building for a meeting. And as I watched him come up the stairs towards the studio, I thought, oh, he's going to be a guest on our show. And sure enough, that was the case. So
I feel underdressed.
Right. No, you look fantastic.
Okay, yeah.
Not as flashy.
No, it's just blue. But okay.
Fantastic. Hey, I've got blue on too. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you got the memo. Right. And Daryl as well. Good. So yes, let's talk about Mac Prefab. Who are you and what industry do you serve?
So Mac Prefab is a manufacturer of cold form steel building components. Cold form steel being the metal components that are in the walls that are in most commercial buildings.
Okay.
We have roll forming equipment. We purchase steel and coils, and we make those pieces as opposed to buying them. And we design multi-level, multi-floor buildings, 4 to 6 story, multifamily, hotels, senior living facilities, those kinds of things. So we provide a complete structure, if you will. We fabricate the panels in our office, in our facility, and send out walls that are just stood up on a job site. It's what we call off-site construction. So we're building walls while the dirt work, site work's being done, slabs are being poured, and then we get to utilize what I call high-velocity construction. It goes very fast.
I was just going to say, if the groundwork is being taken care of on-site and you all are taking care of the next...
Yeah, we're already building wall panels
while
all that's happening. So you get to frame the building before the building's ready to be stood up. So it goes very fast.
Multifamily housing.
Mm-hmm. Apartment buildings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wow.
Yeah, so we're doing, we're finishing a 125,000 square foot 5-story in Tucson. And we have several online for this year in the Phoenix area. Another multifamily in downtown Phoenix and a couple of hotels. So it's exciting.
How long has the company been around?
Mac Prefab's only been around a couple of years. However, a sister company under the same ownership, Executive West Building, has been around for a long time. Executive West Building is a traditional metal stud framing drywall subcontractor. And we started building steel trusses a couple of years ago, and just the normal transition was to go into the wall panels. And so here we are, and it's the perfect time for it.
And a great demand now that we're building again.
A great demand in that we are building again, and the labor force is so pitiful right now. It's horrible. I did do my part. I have a 39-year-old son and who was still is very skilled, great with his hands. And at the age of 18, said to me, "Dad, I don't want to do this." So now he works in the cyber security for the state of Arizona. So I can't blame him. He did a great career
made,
path.
Made the right choice for him.
But the labor pool is just bad. People don't come out of school anymore and want to go into construction. Now, they want to do something in IT. They want to do something tech related. Yeah. And so we're trying to change some of that too with getting into high schools and
we need to. This is great that you're bringing this up because we have this kind of conversation several times a week. Mm-hmm. We had Bravada Yachts on, and at the same time,
I
love them. And in fact, they sponsor one of our military-related shows. Mm-hmm. Along with Semper Fi Heating and Cooling, they were on the same segment when we got to meet them. And also, gosh, I can't think of who the other company is. It was a pool company. Also, all three of the guys were Marine vets. The conversation was really around, you know, making the transition from military to owning their own business. But part of what they shared, Robert, is exactly what you were just talking about. This, especially the specialty trades, mm-hmm. if we could teach our high school kiddos that there is opportunities out there to become specialized in something.
Sure. And it's okay to work with your hands.
Well, it's more than okay. We need it.
Yeah. So unfortunately, what's happened is it's driven the construction industry in particular to technology. And so mm-hmm. where we can build, where we do 50% of a framing job in a controlled environment, in a warehouse with kids that just get out of high school, as long as they can squeeze a finger on a drill and put some pieces together, they can work. And mm-hmm. so we're just having to do with what we get.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, we just recently started a real concerted effort to get into high schools. And so I'm actually working in the Buckeye Unified High School District and going into their classes. And we're going to do some things and bring them into our facility and try to stir up a little of excitement.
I know Daryl's thinking the same thing, our producer, because we talk through, telepathy. We host Arizona Technology Council show. Steve Zylstra and I both do that show together once a month. And then if you're familiar with them, they also have their foundation, SciTech Institute, mm-hmm. that focuses specifically on K-12 STEM education.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would need to make an introduction for you because I think that they can help continue to, all of us together collectively, mm-hmm. can make an impact on these students and give them the options that they need to know about. So you can make wise choices when it comes to careers.
Exactly. So I had an educator on my first tour through their facility tell me that, speaking as an educator, that we got it wrong for so many years. And I said, "You got what wrong?" And he says, "We pushed everybody to college."
I did it as a parent.
Oh, everybody does it. Now, I say everybody. I wanted my kids to, but I didn't push them to. But that was it. They just pushed every child to college. And he said, now we won, we did what we wanted, but now we have created this situation in part, clearly, that they're just not skilled, just not a skilled workforce.
Yeah, it's funny. I've got two in their 20s. One successfully graduated from ASU. The other one, it wasn't for him, but because mm-hmm. as parents, we had encouraged, I mean, every check at Christmas and birthdays, all their savings bonds.
Right.
We'd thank grandma and grandpa for your college money, like, mm-hmm. you know, just that whole programming all along. And again, my daughter made sense. My son did not make sense and would have had a lot of other opportunities. Now at 27, he's found his way, but it was tough. Now I have a 14-year-old and I'm like more so willing to say, what are you interested in? Let's explore, you know, as he enters high school next year, not putting that emphasis, the heavy emphasis on it anymore. So,
absolutely.
But I love that educator shared that because I think it's accurate. And tell us how you landed at Mac Prefab.
I've been in construction ever since I was 15 and in various forms and various roles. And they were just starting out the Mac Prefab piece. And I filled kind of any role that they had, depending on what was needed at the time. And gradually moved into which is really my sweet spot, which is the business development side, although I've been in the operations, et cetera. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun because it's something new. The prefabricated constructions are much more prevalent on the East Coast, and it's almost unheard of out here, which is really, really strange.
I was going to say, it feels backwards to me.
Yeah, and this type of construction has been very prevalent for many years, 15, 20 years in Australia, New Zealand. Matter of fact, our equipment comes out of New Zealand. And it's just amazing. They build almost everything out of steel in Australia and very little wood. What I like to tell people is, how do I say this? It's tough being politically correct, but I am not against cutting down trees and doing wood. However, it takes approximately an acre of lumber to frame a 2,000 square foot home.
Wow.
You can do that same thing in about four cars, the steel in four cars. So yeah, it's time that we start building responsibly. And this is, you know, one of those things.
Can we help me understand what is light gauge steel or cold form steel? Those are both the same things, just different words for it. Educate me like I'm one of those kids coming through the warehouse with you and don't have a clue.
We've all seen the projects, the apartment projects that are built up along the roads. And you see piles and piles of lumber. You can see the wood that the structure's built out of. Okay, that's lumber, obviously. When you see or drive by commercial construction and you see all the shining, it's not the structural steel, which are the big, heavy components that you will see that build a framework on a big commercial building, but it's all of it's the walls. It's inside every wall. Every wall is framed. Instead of 2x4s, it's light gauge steel. But that's all it is, quite simply. And you screw it together instead of nail it together.
And again, it can be done offsite. So that and that's a wonderful thing for volume.
Yep. So we, for several reasons, we can build the project we have in Tucson. When we started, when the slab was ready and they gave us the go-ahead, we already had two whole floors of the building fabricated on trailers. And then we take them out three trailers at a time. That way you're not surrounding a project with a bunch of lumber that's getting rained on when it does rain here or getting stolen. And then this particular project didn't put a dumpster on site for several weeks because there is no waste. We've done everything off site. So it's just putting pieces together. So yeah, it's really, really cool. And this was this project in Tucson is really the first of this size anywhere in Arizona. There is one other project like that, like this here, which is a hotel that was built by somebody else that we were involved in. But yeah, this is, it's a new thing, especially in commercial construction. It's kind of been around in wood for a long time, but wood warps and cracks and splits and twists and goes back to Mother Nature. So it creates several problems that don't exist with light gauge steel.
Any thoughts as to why it's taken so long to get to this side of the country or even in the U.S. at all?
The labor, the lumber lobby is a very strong lobby. And so it's, you know,
it's a political thing.
Oh, it is. And it's so funny. We talked to very prominent general contractors here that do a lot of multifamily or apartment building. And it's like, no, we've done it out of lumber for years. We're just going to continue to do it out of lumber. And but you can do this and this. So, yeah, we understand, but we've always done it out of lumber. And so we're going to just do it out of lumber. And so it's kind of, we're having to pull some people kicking and screaming into the game.
But keep sharing the benefits. I mean, this is why you ought to be doing it
faster. There's so many things. It is a little more expensive than lumber on a line item for line item basis. But
overall, project-wise.
Yeah, so there's an insurance called Builder's Risk Insurance that general contractors have to take to insure a building while it's under construction. Like our 125,000 square foot building in Tucson, the savings in Builder's Risk Insurance alone was about $200,000 because you're building with a non-combustible material. If you do the same thing with residential construction, you've seen all of these subdivisions that are being built. They have to put in all the streets. You see all of the work that's done, the walls, all the fire hydrants, everything before any building takes place on the lot because that has to be done because of the a combustible construction you're building out of wood. If you built it out of steel, you can go out there and scrape a place on the ground and start building houses while they're doing the infrastructure. So this has become a very big thing in California since all the fires. LA County has actually passed some codes that you have to, use light gauge steel for buildings over 15,000 square feet.
And is it appropriate for single family homes? I don't know why it wouldn't be. Yeah, it's just a smaller scale project.
We've built a couple of custom homes, large scale custom homes. And then I know you've seen these little single family rental communities that are popping up everywhere. Instead of apartment buildings, it's all little homes that are just packed in a subdivision.
Yeah.
We haven't won one yet. We got very close when lumber prices were so high. They've gone back to being high again, but, we have a mock-up of a 900 square foot home in our parking lot, full size that four people put together in 4 hours and they had never framed anything in their life.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Do you have that? I hope you've got a video of that and using it as a, a selling point. Holy cow, that's fantastic. And as you were sharing that, I'm thinking of it, not that this would work, but the, you know, those tiny homes like at the home show, Home and Garden.
We also
shows.
Do those.
Do you?
Yeah, there's a builder right down the street from us that actually builds them, but we supply the steel and build all their walls for a tiny home. It's lightweight.
Yeah, right.
Know, so all that stuff. So yeah, there's many, many uses for it.
And your original introduction to it, I know you've been in the industry for a long time, but
This in particular?
Yeah. What was your appeal?
This really is the first time that I actually saw it. The appeal is that it is so precise and so quick. Each piece, so we have designers and we design because you have to design wall panels. Everything has to be designed into that wall. So every window opening, every fire extinguisher cabinet, every medicine cabinet, all that has to be done at the time of design. And our equipment prints those pieces just as we design them. And then everything snaps together because the components are dimpled and punched. And so
like
you don't
Legos.
Even need, you put it all together and then you just stick a screw in it.
Yep. It's, or a rector
it's
set.
Within,
what is that called?
Yeah, it's within 1/64th of an inch out of being square. So it just takes away. This is the one that I hate. This is what I use. It dumbs down the building process.
But everybody can understand that, right?
Absolutely.
And
So that's what happens.
And precision. I mean, that's the other thing I'm hearing. So,
right.
Wow. It just sounds to me like a builder's dream.
It is. And it is the direction that building or that construction is going. Mm-hmm. It will get there. Inevitably, everybody will get there, either because of lumber, too high, lack of lumber, whatever. It's all going to get there eventually. It's just when it does.
Yeah. And where did you say your equipment or your machine came from?
New Zealand.
So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so they're called FrameCAD. They actually drop these into the government or the military uses them in a 20-foot shipping container. And you can drop them into the middle of Saudi Arabia with a steel coil, and they can build things on the fly, just have a generator. But it's FrameCAD. They're built in or come out of New Zealand. There's a few models that are built in the U.S., one that's built in China. But yeah, you can basically build an entire building. I would say that if you were building a 2,500 square foot home, this steel would fit in this room in coil form. It's pretty neat stuff.
And coil form, it looks. I mean, what does it look like?
It's a coil that is
literally a coil.
It's a coil that's probably 4 foot tall. That depending on the slit width or the size of the coil, the width of the coil, 8 to 10 inches wide. But about 4 feet tall, about 3,000 pounds of steel in each coil.
This may be a ridiculous idea, but being the former teacher and assistant principal that I am, and we've already talked about kids and getting them excited about this, I keep seeing this school, I don't know, high school or something, taking on a project, right? Like our DECAs or whatever, but even the robotics kids or whoever, that they build a home. Or something.
What a great idea.
Are you guys doing that?
We are doing that.
I'm so pleased to hear that talk. Yep. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So I actually had one of the reason we started in Buckeye is we're out in the West Valley. That was the first piece. And they were so kind to just basically said, you can have our entire school district. You come and go. You go into our classes. We want you to talk to anybody
and
everybody. So it was really, really pretty neat. But when I was introduced to the teachers, they have a couple of carpentry classes where they still have what
Excellent.
You and I maybe remember as shop classes.
Yes.
So they actually have a couple of classes like that. And I had one of the teachers into my office week before last. And I said, this is what we want to do.
Good.
We want your guys to draw on a napkin,
start to
10 by 10 or something. You'll come in, we'll show you how our design team is going to put that and draw that in and design those wall panels. We'll carry that over to the machines and we'll plug it in and we'll print the pieces and then we'll put it on a rack and then throw it in the back of a truck and we'll go build it on your site. That was my idea. Now, Matt Cormier, who is our owner, came in and said, oh, that's really cool, but I'd rather do something else. And I said, okay, what are we going to do? He said, let's pull one of these trailers for these tiny homes out and let's let them build a tiny home.
Yep.
Let them do the whole thing. They have some partnerships or some other people from like Rosendin Electric, people that are going to also come in and show them what it looks like when they put the electric into the walls and things like that. So we're going to take it all the way through.
Brilliant.
We just want to build something for them besides that they can keep and take apart and put together and take apart and put together. But, they were crazy. They were like, yeah, I can't believe we're going to, you know, this is perfect.
Of course.
So, yeah, we'll be able to show them. I'm talking to a couple of their classes about interviewing and what to do. We'll do some mock interviews and things like that. And I'll really put the screws to them and scare them to death. But, yeah, you know, it's really neat.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
Yeah. How big is the team?
We have... I don't know, probably 15 to 20 people that work in our fabrication facility, office staff of probably another half dozen. And then we have that do install anywhere from 100 to 150 people in the mm-hmm. field that do the installs.
And always looking for more installs or where for always. You guys specific, I mean, I understand that the construction industry mm-hmm. overall has some deficit, but mm-hmm. Are you guys looking to always hire?
Oh yeah. Well, constantly. I mean, it matters not. You know, who it is or when it is, we're accepting applications all the time.
Very good. And on your website then?
Yes, you can get to our website.
And where the website is?
MacPrefab.com.
Super easy. Mm-hmm. And M-A-C.
Mm-hmm. P-R-E-F-A-B.
Very good. Wow.
Yeah, it's neat stuff.
For sure.
We covered a lot of ground, didn't we?
I'm glad we have. Yes. Yeah. Anything that I haven't thought to ask?
I can't. Yeah, probably. But we'll get there.
Yeah, we will. Let's talk about who you're looking to hire mm-hmm. and what education is needed.
There is no education needed, really. We will teach everything.
Good.
And we don't care what you know or what you don't know. And we have all those people. Interesting piece. This is something we haven't talked about, and I don't know why not. But when COVID, we had just started doing trusses. And right about the time when COVID hit, we had really picked up. We had hired a young man. Or he came to us, school shut down. He was a junior in high school, school shut down. Mm-hmm. We hired him. Now it's, 2 years later, and he runs our truss table. Yeah, and we're also sending him to school he wants to be a designer and a drafter for us. So mm-hmm. we're sending him to school to learn some AutoCAD stuff. But yeah, he runs our truss table.
It reminds me of my dad years ago when I grew up in San Jose area, but when he and my mom married, right out of high school, he went to work for Litton Electronics, who used to do the microwaves and night vision goggles. Mm-hmm. And similarly, it was his first job on the assembly line, and they just put him to work. And then he ended up getting his AA degree and mm-hmm. so on, went on to become a vice president for the company. But it was that first opportunity to just, I want to learn, I want to work, teach me, show me how, and very quickly, you know, continue. So congratulations to this gentleman.
He wanted to be a police detective.
I don't know anybody else like that.
So this was like, you know, okay, I'll do this because it's COVID and I got to get through school and make some money. And then after about a year, he came to me and said, you know what?
I'm loving this.
Yeah, I think maybe I could do this. And he's actually getting married this year. And
First name? What's his name? Do you know?
Chandler.
Shout out to Chandler. Yep. Congratulations.
And his brother,
dude.
Nate, works with us and came on after him. Both younger people. Yeah, they're both key people.
Great examples. Yeah. And obviously, I'm guessing that the rest of the leadership team, just based on what even you shared when you were talking about the project with the schools, it seems to me that your company really embraces this idea around community and
absolutely.
And education, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's, you know, really what I do more than anything else is educate. I mean, that really is the thing. I people say, oh, you know, how do you sell this stuff? I don't. That's really not it.
I educate.
It's educating. And I do lunch and learns for architects often, you know, they know what a metal stud is, but, you know, they don't know what we can do and how we do it. And I cannot tell you, it's at least a half a dozen times a week that I talk to somebody, whether they're a developer, an owner, that says, how come we haven't been talking? I can't believe that you do this right here in town and we had no idea you were here. It just doesn't, people don't think about it.
And does it change the job of the architect and the folks who are, you know, rolling out the blueprints and figuring it out? Because you've got to be mindful of.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and part of that is that, again, it goes back to the technology. We actually start the design process. We'll get what's called a Revit model from an architect, which is a 3D model. We'll take that and we'll build our model because it's a load bearing. It's a structural system. We have to be first. So we build the model. We give it back to the architect who then disperses that to the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing engineers. Right. And then they design their pieces and parts around the structure so that they don't hit. It's called clash detection, believe it or not. And you do it very early on so that when you go to do the building, pieces go where they're supposed to go and you don't have problems with things hitting where they're not supposed to. So it's just, it takes a whole lot of coordination early on, but makes for a much smoother process, in the building.
We've talked about, educating high school kiddos and the work that you're doing in Buckeye. I'm thinking about EVIT. I don't know if you're familiar with EVIT program in East Valley, but I'm also thinking about those architects and the engineers. Do you have any relationships with ASU and the community colleges as well?
Well, I don't with that yet. That's a piece that is something we want to get into. We're doing some career fairs and things with them and through them, but I want to do a little deeper dig than that. The lunch and learns that we do for structural engineers and architects that are continuing education programs where they get credits for them, things like that. Again, it's just the response that we get is amazing. We don't get work out of everything. I don't expect to.
But again, the education.
Yeah, and what that means is that somewhere they know somebody, and eventually we'll get something out of it. It could be years down the road, but that to me is the bigger piece of it.
Mm-hmm. Complete change of subject. Mm-hmm. I mean, detecting an accent. Are you originally from Arizona?
Of course not. Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear it in people and ask all the time, but I don't know what to ask from where, because it gets kind of weird when it's from the South. You know, it's like, are you from Texas? No, I'm from Kentucky. You know, I'm like, that's not South. So yeah, it's Texas there. Yeah. Born and raised, well, I was actually born in Carlsbad, California, lived most of my life in Texas. Met my wife, married my wife there, my first two children there. And then one day out of the blue, I said to my wife, I think we should move to Albuquerque. And she went,
why?
Albuquerque? How about Phoenix? And I went, yeah, that's what I meant. And so I came out and found a job and moved everybody here.
How long ago?
35 years ago.
Okay, so you've been here a long time.
Say, what, after 10 years, you're a native or something?
Yeah, I've been here since 79, so yes.
Yeah, we were here, yeah. It's 88, 87, 88, something like that. So yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And kids have grown and gone.
Three children. They're not gone. None of my children, once they had a child and I had a grandchild, they were no longer allowed to leave the state.
Good for you.
So I have three children and 10 grandchildren.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's awesome.
That's a home run. My first two were twin girls that are now 15. If you want to talk about a home run for first grandchildren to have twin girls, it's horrible. and the youngest being two.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. And they're all here local. That's fun.
They are all here
my
local.
My dad is here and I have a brother with two kiddos here and my other brother is in Florida and his kids are in California, but there's so much pride. I'm not a grandparent yet. I keep telling my kids, give me time. I still have a 14-year-old, so let's just go easy on me. How lovely that you and your wife get to enjoy having that family time.
Yeah. I've had my son a couple of times has kind of gotten weird and wanted to go somewhere else. And
you find ways to manipulate.
There was no manipulation. I just told him no. You're not going. You're not taking your kids with you if you go. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So great. All right. Well, I would just want to make sure that we've covered everything. How can folks stay in touch with you, Robert, and get in front of Mac Prefab?
Best way to get in touch with me is through my email, rjohnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N, at macprefab.com. Or, of course, they can get, you can just call our office.
Okay.
Call me.
Yeah. And how fun that you have an Instagram for Mac Prefab.
So, are you ready for this? Now, this is going to freak you out. I'm 60 years old. Okay. One of you is supposed to go, you don't look 60.
You don't look, listen, okay. I'm only 2 years behind you.
Okay, perfect. But I do the social media for our company.
Yeah.
And so I'm the LinkedIn guy.
And the Instagram guy.
And I'm the Instagram guy. and on LinkedIn, I'm approaching 54,000 followers.
Excellent. So, you're doing something right.
Oh, it's a blast. Yeah. Good. And when people find out, they're like, you're not. No, you're not. And old people don't do social media. And I'm like,
Sounds like Daryl, something Daryl would say.
Yeah, they better do social media, So yeah, right? So it's a full-time job, just spreading the word.
So good. Mm-hmm. It's really been a pleasure to get to know you today. And I really do want to make that connection to you and Dr. Bappendorf and Kelly Green with SciTech Institute. We have just a fantastic show called STEM Unplugged with them once a month. And like I mentioned, are you part of Arizona Technology Council?
No.
You know, I mean, it's not, this is a technology, right? Of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I think that'd be a fantastic organization for you to get to know as well. Steve Zalstra, again, he and I do this SciTech, what was the name of that show? AZ TechCast once a month. And I think that both groups need to know about what you're doing and continue to put the word out.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I'd be glad to.
Again, Robert Johnson, VP Business Development with Mac Prefab, and you can find them at macprefab.com. Thank you again for making time for
it's
us today.
It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting from Mac 6 Entrepreneurial Center right here in Tempe, Arizona. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Owicki. Thanks for listening.